Welcome to Manager Tools, our guidance on I'm working on, not. Here we go. Folks, this guidance answers the questions of why are projects and tasks so often delayed, and how can you help your directs meet their deliverables? Projects and tasks are often delayed because deadlines are vague or distant. Tasks are too big, too hard to quantify, too easy to put off. And even if a project has already started, you can actually accelerate its progress by asking for details about what people are working on precisely, rather than just accepting the old answer of fine, and of actually creating deliverables if, in fact, clear deliverables haven't been created. And you can do this whether they're working on a project or not, just if they're working on standard work, which is, of course, almost always a series of tasks. Here's our outline. When your directs are, quote, working on something, which I'm sure you've heard them say before, you've got to probe for details. The two questions we need to learn to start asking are, what's your next deliverable? And when will you commit to delivering it? Pretty simple. Okay, let's get into the details. When your directs are working on something, we recommend you probe for details. Don't be satisfied with the classic answer of fine, right?
Yeah, because that's what everybody says, right?
Yeah. It's almost a joke, right? Except that it's frustrating for managers. We know when we ask our directs, hey, you know, give me an update, or how are things, or how's Project X going? We know they're going to say that. And we'd all admit that very few projects finish on time, on budget, and to scope. So how is it that whenever we ask, every project is almost always fine? Or if your directs are willing to go into some detail, what they'll say is, I'm working on this. I'm working on that. Oh, I'm doing this or I'm doing that.
Right. They're not trying to mislead us, right? They're not giving vague answers because they're trying to hide something.
Exactly.
Well, maybe sometimes they are, but yeah, most of the time, probably
well,
not.
Well, I don't think they think of it as misleading.
No.
They just know that's the standard answer. They learn it within a year of becoming a professional.
Yeah, and if you're walking down the hallway and you run into one of your directs and you're like, hey, how's Project X? I mean, they don't have time to give you a big detailed answer. You're on your way to a meeting. They're on their way to another meeting. Fine, right? Good. All great. Thumbs up.
Because technically, right, it is a reasonable way in the abstract sense of describing almost any project that isn't within moments of being canceled because it didn't perform or something. No, it's not completely accurate to say it, but depending upon your tolerance for risk, it's not wrong. That's the thing. And we have taught people, guys, don't think this is an indictment of directs. This is an indictment, if you will. It's not an indictment. It's a recommendation to managers because we've taught them that they can say fine and we're good. Now, to be fair, you can tolerate fine a lot as long as when there's really a concern that it's not fine, that someone's going to say something different. The problem with that is we've all had the experience of hearing fine and then discovering someone asks a question, and when they dig in deeper than we want to, because we're using the direct as the way to dig into what they're working on, someone else digs in for us, or maybe even we dig in for ourselves, and we say, hey, next week, we have a pretty big deliverable. I don't know that anybody's worked on it. There are a couple of pieces of that that I think I would have been involved in. It'd be okay if I wasn't. Nobody's asked me. Where are we on that? Well, that one's an unusual situation because of the deal with the vendor. And so they said they're going to change that later. And so it doesn't really matter. And all of a sudden, you're like, hey, that means next week we're going to have to report as red, or we have hours of work to rework this project. And now suddenly the direct answer of fine for weeks is really accurate, but not helpful, not insightful. And as we'll talk about later, why do you ask? Why do we ask these questions? The reason we ask these questions is to determine how and why and when to take action. If you're not going to take any action, no matter what answer you get to the question of how's it going, or what are you working on, or what's your status, how's Project X, then you're not going to ask. Those are the projects. That's the work you don't care about. So by definition, this question is about finding out how you're going to get involved, if you need to get involved, and if so, how much. If you're not going to, you wouldn't ask. The problem in these situations is we're asking the wrong question.
We're asking about these projects, which can have hundreds of tasks, right? 50, 100, 500, yeah. Thousands over months. And we're asking about it with the vaguest of questions, right? How's it going?
Yeah.
And it's a short answer that either requires a briefing, which, as we said, isn't going to happen in the middle of a hallway conversation.
Right.
Or it requires something like fine.
Yeah, which we've accepted. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And so we're basically, like it or not, we're getting what from our directs what we're asking them for.
Right.
And so when we as managers get frustrated with fine, and then when we dig deeper and find out really it's not fine, that's our responsibility. And the good news is that means we can change it.
Yeah. Right?
We can behave differently to get a different outcome.
Yeah. And so whether it's a project, it's just regular work that may not have risen to the level of complexity to be called a project. Maybe it doesn't have a capital budget. Maybe it doesn't have additional resources assigned to it or whatever. We ask things like, how's it going? Everything good with the new templates? Can you give me an update on the event planning? And as Danny said, when we ask these kind of non-specific questions, we ought not to be too frustrated by non-specific answers. But this guidance says when you inevitably slip into one of those vague questions, and you're going to, I think about this particular topic. If you ask me, name two operational details that you think really help you as a manager, I would say our guidance on never assign work without assigning the reporting of that work with it. In other words, turning a task, do X, into a deliverable. Such as do X by Tuesday, and X includes reporting the status to me.
Right.
That's one thing, because now I don't have to go searching for stuff, and I know when stuff's going to be done. All I have to do is write it down. This is the other one that I try, you know. Now, I admit, for a long time, what I would say was, hey, how's it going with Project X? And somebody would say, fine. And I'd say, okay, you're going to have to do better than that. You know, do me a favor. Go by your desk and get me the spreadsheet, right? But, you know, just, hey, good, thanks. I want to take a look at it tonight. I just want to be sure I'm on track. Now, 80% of the time, with people whom I had hired, with people who I liked, who I was confident in, whom I completely trusted, I would get back one of a number of answers, such as, well, it's kind of in a rough state, or, yeah, okay, you're probably not going to like it, or they just wouldn't reply. I would get a clear sense that tasks, deliverables, deadlines were not defined. Things were very vague, not clear. And so I started not getting upset, but started to dig in and say, well, okay, what are you working on now? What's next? And so on. Once, after about 6 months, I was amazed how often people would say, I'm fine, and this is my next action. Here's what I'm doing here, here, and here. And when I say next action, guys, those of you in IT who have been exposed to Scrum ought to feel Scrum in this. The whole point of Scrum and having morning meeting is, what did you accomplish yesterday? What are you working on today? What are your barriers? What do you need to overcome? And the point of the barriers is something the manager or the Scrum Master may need to get involved in, which is exactly why we would be asking questions of our directs, even if we're not in Scrum. And I think it's hilariously funny, Danny, as an aside, you come to Silicon Valley a lot. I live near Silicon Valley, and people tell me all the time, I don't have time to do a one-on-one with my four directs, but these are people developing software and they're doing Scrum every morning and they're asking every day, what are you working on today? And, you know, what are your barriers and so on? And these are people who say, oh, you know, I don't want to get too involved. I don't want to ask too many questions. You know, I want to trust my people. Like, wow, but you ask them every day what they're working on. How is that okay in a one-on-one where you're going to dig in more? Not okay. So anyway, when you inevitably slip, don't let a vague answer like fine be the end of the conversation. Don't slap yourself on the forehead and go, darn it, you know, I should ask the right way. Just go ahead at that moment and probe deeper by asking more specific questions designed to get actionable information. That's all.
When I first became a manager, Mark, it took me about 4 or 5 months to realize that fine does not equal green.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And here's something else that's interesting. I think there's a healthy contingent of managers whose understanding of their role, that if you ask managers, if you had to bet all your money on fine or green, what would you bet it on? There would be a healthy percentage, particularly newer managers, or people who never really aspired to it but ended up in a role like that, maybe 30 to 40% say they would bet on fine. Having no concept that the effective manager really doesn't care at all about fine. Fine cannot be sold. Fine cannot be packaged. Fine cannot be delivered to another department in order for your work to go into the value creation of a product or service that delivers results to customers, that creates income, that pays salaries, that allows profit, that allows reinvestment, that allows growth, that allows salary increases. They don't. I mean, all that stuff, everything I just said, that whole string of value creation is all in green.
Right.
And I got to tell you, I'm open to hear how you would say, but green is not the way people think. And I don't think that managers understand, the many, many managers, not all, many of you listening are like, no, I understand. Now, many don't understand that green is where managers have to live. Green as opposed to amber or red on a project. It wouldn't hurt to be sustainable either, but that's a whole separate discussion.
And I think that our directs inherently know that we're asking to find out if we need to get involved.
Absolutely. And they know we also want more specific status.
Right. Yep. And so I think a lot of times our directs answer fine, even though they know it's not green, right?
Right.
It's yellow or red. But in their mind, they're addressing the yellow or the red, or they know how they're going to fix it.
Exactly. And look, this is a case of two different people with two different needs. And folks, it doesn't mean we're opposed to our directs. It's just important that we understand the different people want different things. You want to feel good that based on if you knew everything, the project, the work is going to get done on time in a high quality way, in a sustainable way too. Your direct wants to avoid too much oversight. Your direct wants to be left alone, wants the freedom to be able to manage their work. And of course, that's why often directs in these situations say, well, don't you trust me? And of course, the answer to that is when your directs say, don't you trust me? You say, yeah, of course I trust you. That's why you're here. And trust, but verify. I mean, no offense. The market trusts us, and we have to report quarterly reports. Customers trust us. And when we make a mistake in a product, they tell us about it. My boss trusts me, and he expects me to brief him weekly on the status of things. Reporting on status is not a function of trust. It's a function of the organization is bigger than us, and as such, work is not technically done. If I do work, but it doesn't, no one else knows about it, then the organization can't turn my work into a product or a service or aggregate it with something else that allows there to be additional value created in the marketplace. And so therefore, work has to be done and reported on being done. And the fact that it's in your head and okay is fine. I just want it out of your head. And there's a chance that you and I will disagree on green, yellow, and red. And that's okay too. And this gets to another thing. And this is what I thought you were going to say, Danny, is that we think we want to know about yellow and red. Most directs want to avoid the reporting of yellow and red because it implies more oversight, more involvement. And what's interesting is if you have a great relationship with your direct, that won't be a problem from the standpoint of you'll know how to get more involved in a way that's not intrusive. But by the same token, in most organizations today, with the pace, operational tempo, and the need for high quality and speed and so on, it's not efficient or effective for the organization to assume that directs can keep things in their head, have 30 or 40 tasks, all of which they're kind of working on, some of which are kind of making progress, when in fact that goes into the larger value creation the organization does.
And I think too that a lot of directs interpret more oversight or more involvement from their manager as in trouble.
Yeah. And what I would say is, folks, you better be busting your tail on your relationship with your people. So they'll believe you when you say, look, it's okay, I'm involved. Hey, consider this, try this. And try, when someone actually does say, I have a concern, try not to get upset, because everybody else has been telling you fine, and it's a vague sense of things, and most projects, most work is delayed, doesn't get done, and so on. Try not to get upset, because you're punishing the direct for candor. You're essentially saying, don't speak truth to power. So, yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Look, I want to go back to something I said before. Think of it this way, guys. When we ask our directs about their work, their progress, their status, what we're really doing, again, is determining whether or not we need to take action. You know, a status of green, on track, up to date, means we can either focus elsewhere or maybe give positive feedback and then go focus elsewhere.
Which would be even better.
Yes. If somebody's red or delayed or at risk, it means we need to get involved or become more knowledgeable. That's action.
Right.
An answer of fine isn't enough to either allow us to focus elsewhere in peace or to know how we need to get involved. So we end up having to ask more questions.
And what would be really awesome is when your direct reports red, give them positive feedback for reporting red.
Well, you know, that actually happened. Didn't we just do that here internally at Manager Tools? We don't talk about internal operations, but I know Mike did. Mike was going on vacation and he was working really late. He was going to work really late the night before he went on vacation. He said, because, you know, I got into this realization that the serialization of projects and the number of people who are going to be out in the next month, we're recording this podcast in November, was going to keep us from delivering in January on a project. And we haven't missed in a while. And I wanted to make it. I said, okay, no, let's do the right thing here. You're not going to ruin your vacation. You're not going to fly to a resort while you're bone tired from having pulled an all-nighter at our age. And so just report red. And you and I will talk about it while you're on vacation, and we'll come back with a new plan. And hopefully the idea how that is perceived is, we did what we want you guys to do. We set the example of, okay, we recognize we had some insight into the project and we're now delayed. We look out 6 weeks and we're at risk of missing the deliverable.
That's a really kind of a great little bit of a tangent. Is that is a wonderful way for us as managers to set the example for our directs. When we're red, we need to report red openly, honestly, candidly.
Yeah, and I think there is. I could probably do some musings about that and things I think, or in some other stuff about the difference, how managers fail to understand how opaque their job is, and then privately enjoy the opacity that in such a way that they don't really tell directs what they're doing. Like that's at my level and not at your level. But then they beg for transparency at their directs level. I'm not a fan of complete transparency. I certainly don't think we should share salaries. And a good trusting relationship means you're going to learn some stuff about some of your directs that is sensitive enough that you'll want to maintain professional courtesy with them. But you have to recognize, if you've sent a message to your directs that I get to make decisions unilaterally and I don't have to help you understand why, then when you ask for insight into what they're doing, even though it's not an equal relationship, there's a part of them that says, that doesn't feel right to me. So what we do is we ask, what's your next deliverable? After you hear something vague, after
like
you hear fine or good or, you know, everything's good. Okay, cool. What's your next deliverable? And guys, I tell you, the first couple of times you'll do this, you'll get a little bit of eyebrow raising. It changes the conversation from comfortably vague to clearly specific. Rather than talking in general about the status of the project, we're now talking about what's being done, by whom and by when, which sounds vaguely familiar, by the way.
And the goal is to get down to the work that's being done, not just the status of the project.
Because the project status is supposed to be a reflection of the work that's getting done.
Right. Status is all kinds of information about future tasks, tasks that have already been done. None of that, you know, really is actionable. So we can talk about projects all we want, but if we're really interested in making a difference in that project's success, it's going to come down to who's doing what by when, what needs to be worked on now, what's coming next. Horseman's Law of Project Management.
Yeah, which, by the way, I noticed that there are several sites out on the web where people unrelated to us say, Yeah, it's Horstman's Law of Project Management. One guy even calls it HLPM. Which,
Really?
yeah, and interestingly, there's sort of a bifurcation in the project management world between Horstman oversimplified, which I can understand their issue, and oh my gosh, the project management community has overcomplexified things, and
Right.
thankfully somebody's finally cut through everything. Our friend Cornelius Fitchner, I think, has talked about the idea. And I think, Cornelius, to your credit, I think we know that it's more complicated than that. But managers need ways to simplify the world rather than complexify it. I don't think that's a word.
It is now.
Yes. And simplifying it is, hey, who's doing it? When does it do? What are they working on? And if you think you can build a house that's going to be pretty on the outside, but everything on the inside is not done well, the house may be pretty for a little while, but it won't be sustainable and won't last. If you think you can have good high-level project management oversight, but not have good tasks being accomplished down in the weeds on time, in budget, and so on, think again. It's not going to work. So when you think about it, most of our work, whether it's a project with a published plan, whether, critical path, which is classic, right? And by the way, folks, if you don't know what critical path is, do a little research, find out what that is. I talked to some people recently, Danny, and I said, well, there's a critical path. And so what's critical path? Wow. And I think that's the natural evolution of projects and intranet websites and so on. But people don't really understand that a risk in some tasks is more important than a risk in other tasks. But if you think about it, even if it's a project or if it's just regular work that doesn't justify that level of oversight, it's still just a series of tasks that are done in some sort of rough serial fashion. Some are short, some are long, some can be done in parallel, things change. But ultimately, work is tasks with deadlines that have to be reported on, which are deliverables. And one of the reasons fine is an acceptable answer for a lot of people in their head is there aren't clear tasks. And the absence of clear tasks, who's going to do what by when, and is it going to get reported on, is a huge problem. And we as managers often aren't helping with it. Some projects don't have any tasks because I trust you. You know what you need to do there. Some have tasks that last weeks, which, guys, for the record, really aren't tasks, but are a bundle of tasks too grossly defined to be manageable. And if that's the case, you're not going to get much insight because it's too hard to describe what I've done in the last 6 days about something that I have 35 days to deliver on. And as an aside, the general rule, guys, is no task should last longer than a week. If it does, it's nowhere near specific enough.
And a bundle of tasks, it's too complex for us to see into that, right? And
Right.
since we can't see into it,
We
we
can't
can't
manage it.
manage.
Right. And so if our boss were to say to us, what's the status of that? We'd have to say fine.
So the clear deliverables, the clear who's doing what by when gives us, I'll use that word transparency, which is so overused, but it gives us more insight so that we can manage better.
Yeah.
So shorter deliverables, generally going to be better because they are easier to report on. It allows, certainly allows our directs to feel that they've achieved something, right, more often because they've got these shorter deliverables that they're getting done, they're checking it off, they're getting it done on time, and that helps to reduce the overall risk and the overall time risk. And that sounds a lot like our coaching model.
It sure does. So we ask, what's your next deliverable? When you don't get a clear answer, don't be surprised. Be ready for vagueness or a request to check their desk for more details or their logs or their written plan or their email. You can either work with them to define what the next task is, which is, again, probably whittling away at something amorphous to create something measurable, or just ask them to get back to you by the end of the day with one, two, three, four tasks or whatever. And here's how I can see. Now, this is oversimplified, guys, because there are different directs who respond differently to more insight. And it may take a series of these exchanges to get people to understand that this is the new way you're going to dig into things. But in the case of working with them to defining what the next task is, it might sound like this. Danny, I'll play the manager, you play
I'll
the
be the
direct.
direct.
Since we have M for manager and D for direct,
Oh, and that
that's,
works, doesn't it?
yeah, it works well here. So I'm going to say, how's Project X going?
Good, fine.
What's your next deliverable?
I'm working on a lot of things right now.
Okay. Which one of those things is your next deliverable?
I guess it would probably be choosing a vendor.
Okay, great. And when can you commit to getting that done?
I'll tell you,
I've done that in front of an audience, and there are two responses to that exchange. One is, people are like, wow, you really wanted to know what I'm doing, which, by the way, is my job.
Right.
Okay. The second thing is this dawning sense of, I can be freed up. I can actually learn what people are doing in detail. Wow, it felt like it was intrusive, but now that I think about it, I really feel good that that would be really helpful. And in no way could one of my directs, or me, if my boss asked me that, say that I was pressing too much or pushing too much. And I would say, wouldn't you agree, Danny, there's a lot of managers, perhaps in their first couple of years managing, regardless of their age, who get a couple of pushbacks from directs on things and then think, oh, I'm violating some rule. The direct knows that that level of insight that I want is too much and I should back off.
Yeah, absolutely.
When in fact, they're wrong. The direct is just fearful of oversight. And so they push back and the manager goes away. I hate to say this, but there's a great pop culture reference to this, which is, I mention this every few years and people always give me a hard time about it. There is a Star Trek The Next Generation cast called Pen Pals. One of the subplots in it is about Wesley Crusher, a third lieutenant, a young kid being given leadership responsibilities, and he has somebody push back on him with a given task.
And they're older than he is.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, they're all older than him, a lot more experienced than him.
Right.
And he finally goes to his boss and asks him, the boss suggests something and he does it and it works. And folks, it's okay for you to want to know details. It's not okay for directs to say, no, you're micromanaging me. Because believe me, this isn't micromanaging. This is effective husbandry of resources. That's all it is.
And I think a lot of managers don't want to have that conversation or don't ask those questions because they perceive it as they're in conflict with their direct, right? And we don't want to be in conflict with our directs.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of the success in this is in how you are saying the words, right? It's one thing to say, great. So when can you commit to getting that done?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So when do you think you can have that done by, right?
Yeah. And what's another way for that tone to be helped? Relationships.
Right.
Duh. That's the ultimate duh, I think, in the last 10 years for us in terms of manager tools and career tools, our other guidance. Relationships are huge. And most managers don't recognize that. Many do, but most don't. Okay, so let's do the other example.
Okay.
Where we're going to not work with the direct a little bit. So here we go. How's Project X going?
Good. Fine.
What's your next deliverable?
Working on several things. A lot going on.
Oh, cool. Okay. What are you working on?
Oh, you know, this and that. I mean, just keeping things moving forward.
Okay, doubling down on our bet here. That's good. Okay, so my part is, sorry guys, that was an aside. Here's my line. Tell you what, cool. Send me a mail before the end of the day with your next 2 to 3 deliverables and those, this and that, and what their deadlines are. Thanks.
Again, right? No sense of like you're in trouble, right? It's very casual almost.
Yeah. And I think if you engage in this, I know it's been true for me in every organization I've done this in. If when I start doing this gradually, it's a form of training and people start saying, I'm working on X, it's due tomorrow.
Right.
I'm working on Y. And I might say, okay, good. Send it to me when you get it done. Or I make a little note, set a reminder in OmniFocus, in my calendar, in, you know, whatever, in your watch, whatever. Hey, so-and-so owes you so-and-so. I've told this story before. Now I'm completely blanking on his name. Oh, Jamie Dimon, somebody I've worked with before, CEO of, I think, the biggest bank in the world.
I think so.
In his office in Manhattan when he's in the office. He's the CEO. He has extremely powerful and important and incredibly accomplished and successful people reporting to him. He probably knows the top 300 to 500 managers in the company very well. It's a huge part of his job. And he walks around his office with a 3x5 card stuck into his shirt pocket because he doesn't buy custom shirts. And on it, every day when he's in the office, at the top of the card is people who owe me stuff. And then it's like Bob owes me, you know, a quarterly report on what our commodities business is doing. Sarah owes me a quarterly report on this or that or the other thing. I mean, come on. The
Pretty low
CEO,
tech, right?
yeah, it's low tech. And it's not, I mean, he's not trying to hide anything. Hey, where's my stuff? And certainly, if you report to the CEO and he says, hey, where's my stuff? You wouldn't go, oh, yeah, I'll get it to you soon. Yeah, if he had to write my name down, he's got a bunch of other stuff to do, investors and customers and regulators and board members and so on, big issues. The fact that the CEO knows you owe him stuff and you haven't delivered, ha, because he's not going to put it down if it's 3 weeks before he needs it. But if he needs it, and you assume that people at that level know that time is important, and so therefore there are agreed upon deadlines and so on. Yeah, so don't think that what we're asking you to do, managers, is somehow creative and clever, but not useful or would not be considered appropriate. If some CEO could magically time travel with us and see all the manager conversations where managers are told fine and managers think, oh, that's okay, the CEO would be like, what are you doing, dude? Get in there. Find out what the heck's going on over there. Okay, so the second thing you do is you ask, okay, when will you commit to delivering? And look, obviously this step is clear if you're familiar with deliverables versus tasks. I talked about this before. A task is something to do. A deliverable is something to do bundled with its deadline and the obligation to report on the status of that task
And
by
as
the deadline.
managers, we don't assign tasks, we assign deliverables
Yes, but we talk, most of us talk in the language of
of
tasks.
tasks,
We're going to do
right?
X. Not you're going to do X by Tuesday at 3 o'clock, and you're going to report to me that X is done. That's the beauty of a true deliverable. And a ta again, task that's done, but nobody knows about is worthless to the organization. So we ask, as we did in these two examples, when will you commit to delivering? You could also say, what deadline will you commit to? Or when will it be done? And for the record, you know, any answer to those that's specific is a commitment, and we want people to keep their commitments. So a missed deadline is a missed commitment, not just a slushy sort of, I'm working on so many things, boss. I didn't, you know, it's not a missed commitment. I just missed a deadline. No, it was a commitment. You said to me you would have it to me then. And we don't want people who don't commit. But there's a big difference between saying, when will it be done? Oh, this week. And, okay, this week then means Saturday midnight
Right.
or Friday midnight, right? No, I want a date and a time. Well, okay, what day this week? Oh, probably Thursday. Okay, what time Thursday? Ah, probably 2. I said no. Okay, so I'm not thinking probably. Are we talking Thursday at 2? Is that the date you're committing to? I know you've got other stuff to do. I could be okay with Thursday at 5 or Friday at 9.
Yeah, I was going to say, Mark, when I was listening to you talk, that's something that I've noticed that you do fairly often. When I give you a deadline, like I'll have this done by next Friday, you know, 1 Central or something like that, you'll often say, oh, you know, let's make it the following Wednesday. As a direct, like I appreciate because, well, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but my assumption is that you know that directs, we have a tendency to, oh, I got to get this to my boss fast. You know, there's.
Yeah, it's actually more than that. It's I believe in the tone of your voice and my knowledge about your op tempo, your operational tempo, how much you're working on and how fast things are going. I can tell that my question, when we get it to me, is perceived as a demand for urgency.
Yes.
I believe, I'm not saying this should be necessarily obvious to you. I could make a case for that, but it's clearly not based on, because I do that with all my directs and have for years. I feel the urgency and I understand that you see it's a demand, but I'm not doing that. I am not attempting to create urgency. I am not attempting to get it faster. If I wanted it tomorrow, I would say, sorry, Danny, I need that tomorrow by 2 o'clock. And I know that I've messed up your day, and maybe it's you are delayed and it's your fault, or maybe it's my lack of foresight and so on. And that would be a case of me using role power to essentially demand something on short notice. But no, I've learned, and I don't think this is my problem. I think it's a managerial problem. It's a role power problem. It's a lack of trust problem. That when I say, okay, when will you get it to me? So that I can keep track of it because I'm working on so much stuff. I can't. If you tell me next Tuesday, I'm like, great. The only reason I'm asking is to find out when to put down, when to check on things. And 80% of the time, even people, directs I completely trust like you, would say a date that I don't need. And I'm simply trying to take the question out of the I'm demanding urgency. And I like the idea that I have 25 things to do. They all have deadlines, and my boss will allow me to move those things around a little bit. And if I'm going to be on vacation, or if I'm going to be busy this week and next week with something else, and you get it to me Wednesday, but I don't work on it for 3 or 4 days, I'm not adding any value to it. If you could have added value to something else by delaying this deadline that I'm not able to leverage, then that would be a smarter use of your time. And I trust you to know what that stuff is. So yeah, I routinely do that, in part because I want to be able to save my bullets for, nope, this has to be done tomorrow, 2 o'clock.
Right. I was going to say, when it really is urgent, oh, right? Yeah. You've got you've made some deposits in that relationship bank account, and right. If everything is urgent, then nothing is.
Yeah. And I don't want to be the boy who cried wolf, right?
Right.
Everything's urgent. And then suddenly you've got too much to do. You can't meet all my demands. And now we're in a steady state of friction and frustration.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. So we kind of rambled a little bit, and yet this will always be a really important topic to me. Folks, if you really intend to learn about the status of the stuff your folks are doing, stop just asking how things are going. Ask what their next deliverable is and when they'll commit to having it done. If for no other reason, that's what you really want to know anyway.
Absolutely. Clear communication, right?
Yep. There you go.
Great.
Thanks, Danny.
Thanks.
That's it, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this. A way to help your directs and you communicate more effectively and efficiently about what they're working on and how to move work forward. See you next week. This podcast was produced by Manager Tools. Manager Tools creates actionable management guidance every single week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face as a manager or a professional, go to www.manager-tools.com. Search for Manager Tools on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.